Well, I'm encouraged in the Lord, even though there's a lot of troubles and a lot of battles, and a lot of things to pray for. I know the Lord can help us, see us through. He never promised that everything was going to be easy, but He did promise to be with us and to make a way for us. Those things that look impossible to us are possible with the Lord. I'd like to look at some scriptures. I've read a few of these a while back, but I want to read some of them again. In 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, I've gotten a lot of good out of these scriptures. Maybe you hope you're not tired of hearing them. But I wanted to get a few thoughts. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, and the 17th verse, it said, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." Now I want to drop on down to chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I would like to read starting at verse 9. "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. I was thinking about these verses, and he mentions that we read early, he said, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. And then he mentioned to the Jews it was a stumbling block, to the Greeks it was foolishness. And now he says in verse 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. And that's my thought today, that it says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. In verse 9 it says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. That scripture is quoted from Isaiah 64, the fourth verse, and I want to read it from the Septuagint. It says, from of old we have not heard, neither have our eyes seen a God beside thee, and thy works which thou wilt perform to them that wait for thy mercy. You know, it's not, you know, when we were, the scripture bears out that we were born in sin. There's a sinful nature that is passed upon all men, and all have sinned, all have come short of the glory of God. That's what the law was brought for. That's what the law came to do, to show us that we were short. To show us that we couldn't do it within ourselves, that our that we couldn't live life good enough to please God within our own human strength and our own human ability. We can't do that. We've got to have something different. And these things are hid from the natural man. We don't come into this world just, it's not a natural thing to receive the knowledge of God, the knowledge of the Scriptures. It's not a natural thing for us to see those things and get a hold of it. It says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. We don't stumble across it. It's not a natural thing for us to receive what God has for us in our lives. But he said in verse 10, he says, but God hath revealed him unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The Lord can reveal to us by his Spirit the things of God. Now I want to notice another verse here in 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians the third chapter. And I'd like to start at verse 11. It says, for if that which is done away was glorious, speaking of the law, much more that which remaineth is glorious, speaking of the gospel dispensation. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it, or speaking of they, the body of Jewish people, when they shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. And then it speaks about the Spirit again. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now here he's talking about the Jewish people. They read the law. They had what God had given to them. But he said they didn't really understand what was given to them. The veil was upon their heart. There was a veil that kept them from being able to see what God had for them. And he talked about the Jews, a stumbling block to the Greeks, foolishness. There's a veil. And it's not just the Jews, it's not just the Greeks, but it's all humanity. There's a veil that is upon the heart that keeps us from seeing spiritual things and keeps us from seeing the things that God would like for us to get a hold of in our lives and be able to see. But it says here, when they shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. When a person turns to the Lord with their heart and their life, and they begin to seek God, and they begin to somehow be drawn to the things of God, and in their lives reaching out for God or something better in their lives, the Lord sees that, and He's able to remove that veil. I remember, and I've testified before, but I remember when I began seeking the Lord, I began praying and I began reading, and it was just like a light came on, and I thought, wow, why didn't I see this sooner? Why didn't I know the value of this? Why didn't I recognize these things before? Why didn't I get a hold of them? And it was because there was a veil upon my heart that I couldn't see. There was a veil. You know, we don't get the veil removed just by coming to church or doing good things or trying to be a good person. We have to come to Christ to have that veil. It said, when they shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. In other words, that veil that's upon their heart, it'll be lifted, and they'll be able to see the things that God has. And I think about, you know, when I look back in my life, I was serving myself. You know, we're blinded by our own lust. We're blinded by our own desires. We're blinded by our own will of doing what we want to do. That's what I was. If you had take a snapshot of my life before I met God, it was just selfishness. I was following self. I was following. Yeah, there was some times I went to service. There was some things that I did were, you could look and say, well, that was nice or good or friendly or whatever. But I was serving self. I was serving what I wanted to do, my desires, my lust. That's what I was living after. I was just following the world, following what everyone else was doing, going where I wanted to go and doing what I wanted to do. And as long as we're doing that, as long as we're serving self and we're just living for self, our self-interest, there's going to be a veil, and we're not going to see the things that God has for us. But when we turn to the Lord in the depths of our heart and our spirit, and we've come to the place we recognize, Lord, my way, I saw on my phone a little thing on the little video clip, and it showed this boy, and there was a little quote. He says, "Why aren't my plans working?" And it had a picture of Jesus standing way back in the background. And he's questioning, "Why isn't my plans working?" And all the time, Jesus is back there in the background waiting. Waiting for his attention, waiting for his look, waiting for his gaze. But as long as we take our own ways and we're following our own paths, our own lust, our own... I wanted to mention about lust. We have natural desires that we have. There's natural desires that we have that God has given to us. God made us. God created us. We all have different desires, and there's nothing wrong with those as long as they're held in check and we're following. They're held in and they're used in the place that God wants them to be used and placed. But if we get outside of what God has designed, we get outside of the scriptures, we're not following the commandments of God, then it's an evil thing, and then it becomes controlling, and it becomes a thing of bondage and a thing that controls us in our lives. But once again, when we turn to God with all of our hearts, He can break those chains, He can break those powers, and that veil that's been over our heart, God can remove. I wonder that verse 18 of 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, he says, "But we all with open face," that word open, I looked that up and it's the same thing. It says to unveil. To unveil. When we're unveiled, when the veil has been removed, we begin to see Christ. We begin to see it becomes valuable to us. It becomes meaningful to us. And then it says, we all with open face, unveiled. The obstacles are removed. We begin to see the glory of the Lord, and we can be changed. Our life can be changed into His image, into His likeness. And I'm thankful that God can be revealed to us. This is a wonderful thing in life, to have revelation from God, to have the blinders taken off, the veil taken off of our heart, that we can see the things that God has in mind for us, the things that God wants to do. That where we started out in the Septuagint, in Isaiah, that quote, he says, From of old we have not heard, neither have our eyes seen a God beside thee, and thy works which thou wilt perform to them that wait for thy mercy. You know, the Lord wants to be revealed. He wants to be revealed to our heart, to our mind, to our spirit. But we have to have, he mentions here in 1 Corinthians, he said that we might know. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. Now the spirit of the world, in John he talked about, for all that is in the world, the love, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He mentions those things. That's talking about the spirit of the world. That's what motivates the world. It's wealth, it's fame, it's popularity, it's riches. That's what is in the spirit of the world today. And we don't have, when we've come to Christ and we've given our lives to Him and we surrender to Him, we can have His spirit that doesn't seek after those things. It doesn't seek after those things that do not fulfill, that do not satisfy. Riches, they don't satisfy. They don't fulfill. Lust does not fulfill. It doesn't satisfy. But the Spirit of God can fulfill our natural desires and make us complete in Him. We can be fulfilled and have His blessing in our heart and our life. And what a wonderful the gospel. Paul, in one place, he talked about these things were hidden in ages past, have now been revealed, made manifest through the gospel, through the preaching of the gospel. It's a wonderful thing to be able to have the knowledge that God can reveal His will to my heart, to my life, can reveal His will and to me. Now, I know sometimes there's a little bit of a struggle to, at least I've had, maybe you haven't. Sometimes there's a little bit of struggle to know the will of God, to understand His voice, to understand where He's leading. But if we will be patient, if we will seek Him with all of our heart, Hannah Smith wrote a thing that stood out to me. She said, as long as our desire remains, there's going to be a shadow on the comprehension of God's will. But if our desire is to please God and we've surrendered ourselves to God and we're giving ourselves and we're seeking Him, the Lord is obligated to reveal Himself to us some way, somehow, to guide us. We have the scriptures this morning that are full of the promises of God for guidance, for direction, for understanding. And the Lord can help us. If we'll be patient, we'll seek Him, we'll persevere, He can open up to our heart and our mind His will and His way for us. And isn't that a blessing today? That's a wonderful thing. He said here, who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? He says, but we have the mind of Christ. We can get the mind of the Lord. We can have the mind of Christ if we seek after Him and we look to Him. He can reveal those things to us. And I've seen a lot of other people that have gotten saved, and it was the same way. It was just like, I remember taking this. He was actually a stepdad to me at one point. I had a lot of stepdads, by the way. But I took him to Brother Willie's dad's house there in Guthrie. He called me. I told him to call anytime you want. We'll have prayer together. He was going through some tough times. He had some real severe trouble with his back. So I think he called me about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And he was troubled. He was so troubled in his heart, his mind, his spirit. So I went over there and I prayed. We prayed and prayed. It didn't seem like we were getting anywhere. And the thought came to me, I was just a young person. The thought came to me, he needs to visit with somebody older. So I called Brother Willie's dad, I guess Willie Sr. And he said, sure, come on over. We got to Guthrie about 7 o'clock in the morning. Sister Frances made us a little breakfast. Brother Willie started talking to him. And you know, that man got a hold of something. He, on our drive back, his whole outlook had changed. Just a little bit of time of visiting and prayer, he said, boy, the clouds look so beautiful. The grass is so green. You know, he had hope. He had hope. The veil had been taken off his heart. The devil likes to keep the veil. He likes to keep people in darkness. He likes to keep people under his thumb, under oppression. There's another verse, 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4, it says in verse 3, chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, it says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." The God of this world, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The devil wants to keep us in a place of darkness, in a place where the veil is upon the heart, and the Lord wants to, He wants us to have the light and understanding that He can give us direction and shine light upon our pathway. You know, this morning we are in constant need of God's light. We are in constant need of for Him to shine light upon our pathway to help us to see the right direction and the right turns to make and the path that He wants us to follow. We need the Lord's light. And I can look back. I've made some mistakes and failures in my Christian life, and usually I don't blame the Lord for any of those. Those were the Lord's Spirit doesn't lead us wrongly. It doesn't lead us into something that's not right. The Spirit of God is always faithful, but sometimes we can get off track. If we're not being led of the Spirit, if we're not following the Spirit, it's so easy for the natural man to get off track of what the Spirit of God wants and what He desires in our life. But I can see places also in my life that God, where I waited upon the Lord and I looked to Him, and the Lord enlightened. He helped me to, He's helped me to make some good choices. He's helped me to make some right decisions as well. But that was because of His light. That was because of His help. And I'm just thankful today that we don't have to walk in darkness. We don't have to have that veil upon our heart that keeps us from seeing the things that God has for us. The Lord can reveal different things to us. He can show us things in life that make such a change, that can bring hope and strength and stability and blessing to our heart and our life when we wait upon Him. There's a song that we sang, I don't know, it's kind of a special song years ago, but it says, "Don't run ahead and don't lag behind." Don't run ahead of the Lord and don't lag behind. We need to walk in the light as the Lord shines light. Another thing I heard one time, brother was saying, he encouraged me. He said there've been times when things would come against my mind, and he said I couldn't see clearly. It just seems like things were foggy and dark. And I believe in Pilgrim's Progress, Christian ran into places like that. There were areas that were dark, foggy, couldn't make it out very well. And this person encouraged me, just said, stay where you are, hold on to what God has shown to you, what God has revealed to you. When the darkness, the fog passes, when the fog is cleared. You know, a few years ago, we had somebody killed right down the road from our house on 412 because it was a foggy morning. It was a heavy fog, and they got out in front of a truck that hit them. You know, the Lord can clear the fog. He can clear the darkness. He can help us to be able to see spiritually. He said, "But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." And I'm thankful today that the Lord can open our hearts. We want to keep an open heart, an open mind to God's dealings, God's leadings. Keep a willing heart, willing. Sometimes if we set our feet, we become unwilling, we're gonna soon begin to walk in our own path, our own darkness, and it's gonna fail. But if we have a willing heart to follow God and a desire and we seek Him, the Lord has obligated Himself to show us the way and to help us to know the way. And I thank the Lord for these blessings this morning. What a great privilege that we have to know the mind of the Lord, that God can reveal things to our heart and our life. We could almost probably write a book if we went around the room and told all the things that God has revealed to us down through the years, the things that He is, that we would have never seen in our own. There's another verse that talks about the eagle's eye couldn't perceive. You know, they say an eagle can spot. I've heard it. It's hard for me to believe. It's hard for me to take in. But they said an eagle could spot a fish floating on the water, belly up, a mile away. An eagle's vision. But ever so keen, it cannot. You know, there in Revelations, it talked about the Spirit of God, but it was full of eyes. It had eyes in the front, eyes behind. That's what the Spirit of God is. He takes in you and I. In our human, we just see, we're so prone to tunnel vision. We're so prone. We can get sideswiped so easy. We're so prone in our humanity to tunnel vision. But the Lord is not limited that way. Talked about the seven spirits of God. They are filled with knowledge. They're filled with eyes, being able to see every end of a circumstance, every little thing that you and I would probably pass over. They can discern and they can see. And the Lord can tap us on the shoulder and say, "Be careful," or "Watch this," or "Watch that," or "Step here, miss that." I thank the Lord today that the Lord has made this available to us, that we don't have to live our life in darkness. We can have that veil lifted and removed.